always good to be here with you folks. Love the worship with you. It's always a great blessing. You folks were really excellent on the instruments, and a little special right now was really a blessing. And we'll just continue to get blessed today, I hope. And I want to share with you a passage that may be familiar to a lot of you, but as I always like to say, the beauty of God's Word is it just keeps getting deeper. And as we just look at it, and there's new truth to be revealed to us every time we open the Word. Just every time you just allow the Lord to speak, He takes you deeper into Him. You know, that scripture elsewhere in Luke where the Lord says, launch out into the deep water. And God is always calling us as His people to launch out into the deep waters of faith and life in Him. And this passage, it's about the woman with the issue of blood. And it's found in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 48. On the other side of the lake, the crowds received Jesus with open arms because they'd been waiting for Him. And now a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell down at Jesus' feet, begging Him to come home with him. His only child was dying, a little girl, 12 years old. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She'd spent everything she had on doctors and still could find no cure. She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his robe. And immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd's pressing up against you." But Jesus told him, "No, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that Jesus knew, she began to tremble and fell to her knees before him, and the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, if we just see this passage as just about physical healing, we're missing so much of what God wants us to see and wants us to know. It is about physical healing, but it's, I think, even more about wholeness, about being made whole, truly whole in Christ Jesus. I think we would all say that we believe that Jesus is willing and able to make us whole. Would you agree with that? Jesus is willing and able to make us whole. If we agree with that statement and we think it's true, then how come so many in God's church, how come so many in the body of Christ aren't whole? How come so many of us are walking about crippled? How come so many of us have, in one way or another, a hemorrhage that keeps us isolated and cut off? How come? Why is that so? If He is willing and able, why do we see so many broken, crippled lives? You know, I was at our district assembly that our particular group does every year, and one of the things they want to do is, you know, we always have goals. You know, church is big these days on setting goals and everything. And one of the goals is, and it's a good one, is to reach broken, hurting, wounded people. And that is true. We need to reach broken, wounded, hurting people. But until we admit that we ourselves are so often broken, wounded, and healing, how are we going to take a message of life to them when we so often don't have that message of life in us? And so we need to understand that God is standing. Christ stands before us. Always willing, always wanting, always able to make you and I whole. So we just ask that question, how come so many then aren't whole? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but some of them are these. Dishonesty. You know, we need to start getting real with the Lord about who we are, about where we're living, about what's really going on in our hearts, what's really going on in our minds, what's really going on in our homes, what's really going on. There's deception. A lot of people are walking about just totally deceived right now. You know, they think everything is good in their heart, except it's not. And I'm not making a judgment in that. I'm not saying, you know, I'm standing back and looking at Carl and saying, you know, Carl's got some problems and he's got to get them straightened out. That's not what I mean. But, you know, so many people come in the doors of the church and we sing and we testify and we say all the right things, But then we go out and we live a life that's completely against everything we just testified about. Everything we said, we just believed. Deception. Blindness. We just can't see. God wants us to see, and our eyes are just covered with scales because we can't see things as they are. A lot of us are walking about. You know that passage where the Lord laid his hands upon the blind man's eyes and he said, "Can you see?" And he said, "Well, I see men walking about as trees." So many of us, that's in the church, that's what our vision's like. We see people walking about as trees rather than as people. We don't see things clearly. We see things very unfocused. Blindness keeps us from it. So what we do then is if we get confronted with the problem is we deny it. I don't have a problem. I don't really have, you have a problem, but I don't have a problem. And that, so denial is something we're very, very good at. Or we admit that there's a problem, but we find someone else to conveniently blame it on. I knew a woman once that, and just not singling out the woman because I've known many men do the same things, but she admitted that she was treating and speaking to her husband in vile, unloving, unkind ways. But what she said was, "Is if he wasn't like he was, I wouldn't do that." You see, so we deny there's a problem, or we admit there's a problem, but it's not really our fault, it's the other person's or the other people's fault that makes us that way. So we're in denial or casting blame on other people. But what the Lord is looking for us, and if we're going to have the healing, if we're going to have the wholeness, if we're going to have the life, we're going to have to be like that woman with the issue of blood. We're going to have to be willing to come out of the crowd. We're going to have to be willing to take the chance to step forward and really lay hold of Jesus so that he can lay hold of us. We need to understand, see, that issue of blood that she had, that hemorrhaging that was going on for 12 years, made her unclean in the eyes of the church. It made her not only unclean, but it made her to be shunned. And it was a thing of shame. And to come forward, and it says here that she told everybody after the Lord had healed her, she told her what the problem had been. We don't want people to know what our problems might really be. And our pride and our fear and our unwillingness to just step forward and not care what anyone else thinks because we so desperately want to lay hold of Christ so that he can lay hold of us. And I think that one right there is the biggest thing. We're afraid to admit in a culture that puts so much emphasis on having everything together that we don't have it together. I don't have it together. You don't have it together. But Jesus can make us together. And until we get to that place where we're willing to drop the masks and drop the pretenses and quit playing church and be real, we'll never really be whole. We'll never really be whole. So as we said, the woman was in the midst of a society and a church that would shun her and force her to hide. And I don't think this is a fellowship that does that, and I sure hope the church I pastor is not, but so many churches are places that instead of inviting people into freedom, force them to hide. Force them to hide in the midst. Can you just picture that for a moment? The church is to be the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world through his church. And it's supposed to be a place where honesty and openness and things are seen as they are. But how many people feel like they have to hide who they really are in church? Because if anybody else in the congregation knew what was really going on in their home, what was really going on in the marriage, what was really going on with my kids, what was really going on in my, you know, when no one else is around but me and God, if anybody really knew what I was struggling with, if anybody really knew where my temptations are, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't want me, and they'd cast me out. Isn't that true? Isn't church oftentimes a place where people are forced to hide rather than find life? Because we have these expectations that once you get saved, once you get right in your heart, I mean, you get, you know, that really happens. Once that happens, then problems should all go away, right? You shouldn't struggle with anything anymore, correct? You should never have a bad day. in the Lord. Now that sounds a little simple, but I mean, I know when I first got saved in the church that I was in, I never felt like I could say anything because everybody else was such a much higher level than me in the walk. And we may not try to make it that way, but a lot of times that's the way it is in a church. You know, people come in and they bring all their baggage with them. And they're afraid to unpack the bags in the church. Because if they did, they'd be asked to leave. When the Lord is making people whole, when the Lord is offering life and life is being given, then people can come forward and have no fear of what everybody else is going to say because they know they find love and acceptance in Christ Jesus, not only from Him, but from His people. So for that woman to come forward and lay hold of Jesus would have required more than just courage. It would mean making all of herself visible to everybody else around. But her desire to be whole was so intense and so deep, she didn't care. She was willing to take that risk because having life in Christ meant everything. Is that really what it is about for you and I tonight, or this morning? That having life in Christ and having wholeness in Him and having freedom and having that abundant life that we hear so much about and read so much about means so much to us that we're willing to risk everything to have it. That there's not anything going to keep me from laying hold of my Jesus so that He can lay hold of me. And nothing's going to keep me back. And the songs we sing have new life in them because we're not just singing about an ideal. We're singing about a reality, and we're singing and preaching and talking about something we're experiencing rather than something we've just heard about. And that woman wanted Jesus so bad that she was willing to be totally real with the Lord and touch Him. By the way, you know, when we get wrapped up in that spirit of fear and we're afraid to be real in the presence of the Lord, even in His church, you know what kind of a spirit we're walking in besides just fear? You know how Paul talked about the slave and the son and the difference between being a slave in the household and being a son or a daughter in the household? When we walk about in fear, when we're afraid to be real, when we're afraid what other people think, and we're always wrapped up in, you know, what could happen if I really let go of everything, we're not living like children of God. We're living like orphans. We're living like people who have no father. But when we trust and lay hold of Him and allow Him to lay hold of us, then we're really entering into what it means to be a son or a daughter in Christ. And that's what the Lord wants us to live like. Jesus didn't save you and I so that we could live like orphans. He saved us so we would be His children. So that we didn't fear to come into His presence. We couldn't wait. We can't wait to get into His presence. And when that becomes the norm, people don't look for reasons not to come into the household of God. They look for reasons to be there. Because nothing's going to keep... I don't know about you, when I got saved, nothing could keep me away from the house of the Lord. Every time those doors opened, I wanted to be there. Every time there was something going on, I didn't want to miss it. I wanted life so badly. But you know, as time goes on, that can kind of wane in our attitude and our spirit, and it becomes so familiar that we almost take it for granted, and we wonder why the junk starts piling up in our hearts and the junk starts piling up in our lives. Because that urgency to be with Him, not just on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday night, but it's our reality. It's an everyday thing. You know, when Jesus said, remember that passage also in Luke, when Jesus was a boy and they were returning from Jerusalem and they thought He was in the train with them and they found out He wasn't. And they went back and His mother said, "Son, why are you doing this to us? We were searching all over for you. And Jesus said to them, what were you searching for? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now we take that to mean, okay, I better get in church. But we need to understand that to be in the Father's house is more than just being here. It's being in His heart and Him being in our hearts. To be at home with Him now as a day-to-day reality. And when that becomes our life, then we no longer look at this place as some place we come to. We look at this place as not only a filling station, but we look at this as just an extension of what we are, which is filled with His life, and we live that life out there. And the church is no longer the building. The church is you and I. That's what it becomes. And God expects the same that the woman with the hemorrhage did. Her actions, that's what the Lord calls you and I to. That's what's expected of you and I in our walk. Wholeness is always going to be seen as a life of strength and power and victory. I was just talking with Carl out there about psychiatrists and psychologists. Do you know if we really, and I'm not saying never go to a con, I'm not saying anything like that, but hear me out. If we allowed the Lord to minister to us in power and life and strength and really lay hold of our minds and our hearts and our lives, do you know that I think that 80 to 90%, if not 100% of the psychiatrists and psychologists that are operating today would have to go out of business because the power of God, the great physician, was healing us in our spirits, in our emotions, and in our lives. God wants to do that. Do you believe God wants to do that? Is He any less able to do that today than He was in Paul's time? In Luke's time? Is there any limitation? Is there an expiration date? You know, you buy a bottle of aspirin and it's got an expiration date on it. Is there an expiration date when you bought your Bible? Or was given to you, did they have an expiration date printed on it and just say these promises run out in 2010? Use them up by 2010 because after that they're not any good. No. Wholeness is for now. But if we don't bring all of ourselves to Him, if we don't come with all that we are and lay hold of Him, that doesn't mean the Lord's not going to help you. What it does mean is whatever part of yourself that you keep back from Him is going to be the part of yourself that stays crippled and wounded and continues to hemorrhage. And there's too many lives that are hemorrhaging today because they're not allowing themselves to be made whole in Christ Jesus the Lord. If we don't believe Him, here's what happens. You know, here's what happens in your life and here's what happens in my life. If we don't come to Him and we don't yield to Him and we don't allow Him to do what He longs and what He came to do in our lives, you know what starts happening in your life and mine? Cracks start to develop and life starts to leak out. You start to get a crack. You ever had a beautiful pitcher or anything else that you put water in or some liquid? And there was a crack in it, and you didn't know, and you went back to it, and all that it had been holding had leaked out. And when we don't allow the Lord to bring the healing to us, that He came to give us, the wholeness, the life, then the life that you have will slowly, in that area where you're not allowing Him, will slowly leak out. It will just slowly leak out until it's all empty. Jesus came to heal the cracks, folks. No cracks. No leakage. So we have to have a faith, not that you work up in yourself, but a grace that God gives you and I to believe I can be whole. This addiction, this attitude, this unforgiveness, this memory, this wound, this thing that just festers and never seems to get any better, doesn't have to be. Because Jesus offers us wholeness. He offers us wholeness. But here's the thing. Oftentimes we will come forward and touch the hem of his robe. And that's all we want to do. Do you know what the Lord wants us to do? I think the Lord wants us to allow him to clothe us with that robe. His life and his salvation. You know, doesn't the Bible talks about being clothed with his salvation? You know, instead of just satisfying yourself with a touch. That's what so many of us, you know, we get a touch from God. And you hear a lot about that. Oh, touch us, Lord. I don't want to just get touched. I want to get immersed. I want to get clothed. I want the Lord to clothe me with his salvation. And I think what else he wants to do is that he wants to clothe himself with us. To literally wear us as he wears us and we wear him. And that's what it means to be in Christ, I think, is we wear one another, then his holiness, his purity, and his wholeness become our life. And no longer is your life lived over here and over here with occasional touches and contacts, interactions with him. It's a moment by moment, day by day reality for you and I. We draw near. You know, James says, draw near. Draw near. Draw near unto him, and he will draw near unto you. If we desire that fullness, we've got to draw near. But we also need to realize that at the same time that we're drawing near, he's drawing near to us, because it's not our idea to draw near to him. It's his grace that draws us. It's his heart, it's his love that's doing that. And we must draw near with everything that we are. We don't just bring a couple of things. We don't just bring most things. We don't just bring almost everything. We bring all of ourselves and lay ourselves on his altar, and we lay hold of the robes of Christ as he lays hold of us. And we become clothed in his life and clothed in his salvation, and he becomes clothed with us. And we find out then what it really means to live in Christ. That's the life Paul knew, because Paul could say, and that's why he could say, for me, to live is Christ. It wasn't just a part of his life, it was all of his life. Paul lived so close to him, and I don't think he's the only one capable. Paul lived so close to him and in him, that as you looked at Paul, you couldn't see where Paul ended and Christ began, because they were so totally intermixed. And that's what the Lord is calling you and I to. But as long as we're holding back, keeping our distance, thinking like orphans instead of like children, we'll miss it. We have to bring what we've been hiding. We've got to bring what we've been denying. We've got to bring what we've been avoiding. And we've got to bring what we've been running away from along with us in faith, so we can be made whole. Where are you running? Where are you avoiding? Where are we, you and I, running from, denying, transferring, that keeps us from coming to him? Jesus just says, come. Come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest the Lord brings you and I is not meant to be some temporary thing. It's an abiding presence of him in our lives. And it's where we come to live what I've seen called, we live from a place of rest. Do you and I know that experience today, to live from a place of rest? You know, as we look around and you turn on CNN, Fox News, whatever you're turning on, and you see all the dire reports about what's going on in our country, and then you see the newspapers, and then you see what's going maybe on in your neighbors' lives, and you see all these things, and everything is just a thing that's meant to take away rest, steal joy, and let the life drip out of you. But when we live from a place of rest, it's not that we don't realize what's happening in the world we live in. It's that we can rest like Jesus did in the midst of the storm, as he slept in the midst of the storm. He could do that because he lived from a place of rest. And Jesus said, "My rest I give unto you." Have you received it? Have you taken hold of the robes of Christ as he takes hold of you? Do you want to be, and are you going to be, clothed in his salvation? That's the question. That's what we get down to. He offers it. Will you and I have it? Let's pray. Father, as you look upon us here today, you see us as we are. You see us, Lord, just as we're living right now. Lord, we may have been trying to hide, but Lord, you see us. You see the dents, you see the cracks, you see the unlovely along with all the lovely. You see, Lord, where we're hurting, and you see, Lord God, where the wounding has gone on and on and on. And Lord, like the woman with the issue of blood, perhaps we have tried like she did to seek relief in other places. Money, success, position, relationships. But found all of it did not make us and will not make us well. But Lord, you invite us to now just come. To just come. Come through the crowd, not worrying about the crowd. Come through all those that say don't bother you, and just be determined to lay hold of you as you lay hold of us, and as you make us whole, and you make us full, and you show us what abundance really means, and you pour into our life your peace. Lord, you say to us this morning, not as the world gives peace do I give peace. You give a peace that can never be lost as long as we abide in you. And so, Lord God, we just want to be clothed in your salvation. We want to be surrounded by your songs of victory. And we want to walk in those high places with you today. And not just today, but when we walk out these doors, that the rest of God, the life of God, the joy of God, the power of God, the life of Jesus Christ goes with us. And wherever we lay our feet, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And you walk not only beside us, but you live within us. And you grant us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's good. And he's getting better. Amen. Good to be with you folks, as always. Be blessed. Yeah.